Well, we are continuing our series on All Things Are Possible. I believe this is the third rendition. And this morning I've titled the message, Your Faith Looks Good. Your Faith Looks Good. I don't know if you've heard about this or if you know this, but faith is very visible. You know that? That God sees your faith, that people see your faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, but I just want you to know that, I don't know if I've told you this lately, but I love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your support, just showing up here and being a part of this community as we're growing and sharing this ministry together with you. It means everything to Annie and I that you guys have joined up with us and that you're part of this community. So I just want you to know that I love you and appreciate you guys very much. Your faith looks good. All things are possible. Let's read Mark 2, verses 1 through 5. Mark 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, and when he returned to Capernaum, after some days it was reported that he was at home, meaning Jesus was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. Jesus had gone back home, and news had already spread, and when Jesus was at home, they'd leave their doors open in these houses back then, and people were sort of free to come in and visit, and people just started filling up the house, and Jesus started teaching them the word. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And they could not get near him because of the crowd, and they removed the roof above him. When they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. That's amazing. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you have life to give to us this morning. You have something to say to us this morning. So I just pray that you would allow us to have a conversation, God, that we'd be able to just unpack your word and just marinate a little bit. And Lord, I pray that you would breathe upon these words. And I pray that all of these seeds would just fall upon good ground, Lord, that would take root in the hearts of your people. Truly, God, that something would begin to be birthed in our hearts this morning that would bring us into a greater understanding of your love for us. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Your faith looks good. Well, sometimes my wife, when she's getting ready for whether it be church or maybe a date night or something, and some of you husbands might experience this, but you ever had when your wife or maybe your girlfriend or maybe even just a sister, they'll come up and say, hey, what do you think of this outfit? Anybody ever had that? Come on now. And it kind of puts the guys in a little bit of a difficult situation, because what I've noticed is my opinion really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, there's no way I would ever say that you don't look good, because my wife always looks beautiful. Come on now. Husbands, your wife always looks beautiful, right? Come on, you say yes. But even if I were, you know, hey, what do you think of this pair of shoes? I wear this pair of shoes or this other pair of shoes, and you try them both on, and it doesn't really matter. Sometimes I'll say, well, I really like those black boots. That look great. And then I turn around, and she chose the other pair. It's like, why did you even ask me? But my wife always looks good, and I want to tell her that. I want her to know that she looks good, and God wants you to know that your faith looks good to him. Amen. The Bible says that faith is pleasing to God. And Jesus can see your faith. When we step out on faith and we believe God, God sees your heart and God sees your faith. And your faith is precious to God. And so I was struck by these words that Jesus said when the Bible says he saw their faith in verse 5. Fascinating words. Isn't that an amazing statement? That Jesus saw something that when we read about it in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it talks about kind of an invisible thing. It's an unseen substance. But Jesus in that statement sort of reveals to us that there are things that you can see on somebody that looks just like faith. That there was something about this scenario that happened when Jesus was at home and he was teaching where he saw something on these men. And what he saw was faith. And I want to be a person, I want to be a community of people where Jesus sees our faith, right? I want to be a people, I want to be a person where God looks at me and says, I see your faith. Because when God sees faith, he has to react to that faith. God will always move when he sees faith on his people, right? So there is something very visible about faith. There's something very tangible about faith. There is a real substance to faith. And when God's people begin to move in faith, we can see faith on people. God can certainly see faith. So I want to talk with you about what did Jesus see? What did their faith look like to Jesus? What does our faith look like to one another? I think you'll be encouraged. Before we go deeper, I want to revisit John 6:44. And in John 6:44, this is a scripture about salvation. And I want to talk about this scripture because I want to remind us that faith is a gift from God. Faith is not something that you can muster up on your own. Did you know that? Faith is truly a gift from God. The Bible says that God has poured out in our hearts the love of God, and he's given us a measure of faith. And the only way that you have faith in Jesus and what God can do in your life is if he divinely persuades you to believe. And so we see this in John 6:44. Jesus says, you're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge, and he draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come to me, Jesus said. How fascinating is that? There's a sovereignty to God where the Father is drawing us, luring us, divinely persuading us to believe in Jesus. So we can take no credit for our salvation. Our salvation is truly a gift from God. It's by grace we have been saved through faith unto good works. And this is a gift so that no man can boast. We can't get to heaven and say, you know, I'm so glad I was smart enough to put my faith in Jesus. I'm so glad I was so wise and, you know, look at me. We can't do that. We can only thank God for giving us divine persuasion. If somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit ministered to you and you responded to his divine persuasion. Amen. Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, was living in this sinful state behind the walls of Jericho. And the Bible says that God penetrated those walls and reached her. And she had heard about the God of Israel, that God had delivered them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, they conquered a couple kings. And everyone was talking about this God, and they were terrified that they were next. And so Rahab puts her faith in this unseen God based on rumors that she'd heard about him. And God persuaded her, and she's listed in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews. God is in the persuasion business, and he's divinely persuading his people. And so it lends itself to, if God has persuaded you to put your faith in him, then he is continually persuading you to believe for his plan and his purpose and his direction for your life, right? Paul said, have you begun in faith and now you're kind of doing this on your own in the flesh? No, it began in faith and our life continues in faith because God is pushing us forward in the direction he wants us to go by persuading us to take steps where he wants us to step. Does that make sense? So when God called Abram, he persuaded Abraham to make a mighty change in his life. He persuaded Abraham to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave everything he knew, his customs, his home, his parents, his cousins, his brothers and sisters, and just to leave and go. And where was he going? He had no idea. He said, go to a place where I will show you. I'll show you when, as you go, I'll show you as you go. Because he was divinely persuaded. I wonder this morning, what is God trying to persuade in our lives? What vocation, what steps in our life, what change, what direction? Where is God trying to persuade us? Because, ladies and gentlemen, faith is not blind. Faith is a very reasonable response to God persuading us in a direction. So when you put your faith in Jesus, it's not some blind leap of faith. You know God has called you. You know the Holy Spirit was working with you. You know God was working on your heart. You know that the pages in the Bible leaped out at you one day when you were reading. You know you heard something on the radio that touched your heart and you started crying. You know that you saw something on your brothers and sisters or your friends or your neighbors that just really was different and you saw God on their life and you can't explain it. You know that one day you were in church and you never thought you'd be one of those Jesus people. The next thing you knew, you were crying because God was talking to you and you know he met you right there in your darkest hour because God persuaded you. And you simply took a reasonable step and responded to God's divine persuasion. And that's what faith is. Faith is simply responding to God who is luring you and persuading you forward. And so in James 2:18, he sort of affirms this statement that Jesus said where he could see their faith. James said, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. In other words, true faith brings with it action, right? If Abraham heard God trying to persuade him to leave his country and to go, but he never actually went anywhere, can we say that was really faith? In other words, you might hear God persuading, but it's that step of taking an actual step forward and in obedience to what God is persuading us that is what faith looks like. This is where faith becomes visible. Without action, faith is invisible. You cannot see faith when there's no action. So James says, I will show you my faith. You will see my faith. You will see it before you through my action. Amen? And so I want to talk a little bit about what did Jesus see? Because what he saw looked good to him. And when you are operating in faith and you are walking by faith, not by what you see, you look really good to God. The Bible says it's pleasing to God. You're believing in him. You're trusting in his character. You're hearing him persuade you and you're saying, yes, I hear you. I see you. I'm going to step forward and trust what you're doing in my life. And that is the life that is pleasing to God. It's not our works, but it's our faith where we move forward. So what did Jesus see? Let's just look at a few things, five things that Jesus saw that day. In Mark 2:2, it says, they gathered in such a large number that there was no room left. Not even outside the door when he was preaching the word. There's no room left. Faith that is visible is always a faith that will find a way no matter what. Faith that can be seen is not easily deterred. Amen? What Jesus saw is he saw a persistent faith. He saw a faith that was not going to easily be turned away. Amen? When you really are persuaded by God that Jesus can heal the paralytic, you're not just going to walk away because the house is full. Come on now. Come on, you go to a U2 concert and it's full, you're going to still try to get in there. But if Jesus is in the house and it doesn't look like you can get in and there's not enough room, they found a way. And their drive to find a way to Jesus, no matter what, was visible faith. Jesus saw that faith on them. He saw that persistency on them. He saw that they were not going to be turned down. They were not going to be deterred. They were going to get to Jesus one way or the other. And ladies and gentlemen, when you really believe that God is telling you something, you're not going to be deterred because the room is full. You're not going to be deterred because they give you a no. You're not going to be deterred because there's a roadblock in the way. When God has persuaded you and you're moving in faith, knowing what he has said to you, you will push through every barrier and boundary that might present itself. But if you're not fully persuaded, one little roadblock and it's, oh, this must not have been God's will. I mean, think about the length that those men went to get that guy there. Carrying him through, it's not an easy territory to walk around and carry some guy on a stretcher, on a bed. And then when they get there, they can't get inside. Jesus saw the persistency of their faith. In Luke 11:5, I'm going to show you something that Jesus taught about this exact concept related to faith. He kind of gives this parable. He says, and Jesus said, suppose you have a friend. Just imagine you have a friend and you go to him at midnight. In other words, this isn't the right time of the day. This is not when you typically go and knock on your friend's door. Come on, knock on my door at midnight and I'm going to be wondering who's out there. Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Can you imagine? Going to your neighbor's house. Hey, can I borrow some sugar at midnight? We're making brownies. We ran out of eggs. Can I borrow a couple eggs? It's like, my kids are, what are you doing here? Who are you? What kind of neighbor are you? Well, a friend of mine is on this journey as he came to me and I found no food to offer him. Going on, in the next part of the verse, and suppose, Jesus says, one inside answers, don't bother me. In other words, not only is it midnight, but the guy's like, get out of here, man. You know, you ring the ring. We got these new rings. You guys, anybody have a ring? We have not a ring on your finger, but a ring on your door. And it's got the video and you can hear. It's like, can you imagine pushing the ring? It's like, oh, hey, Rob, can I borrow some coffee, some eggs? It's like, get out of here. It's midnight. Go get your own bread. The door is already locked. In other words, everything's locked up. We're all in bed. The kids are asleep. This is the wrong time. No, no, I'm not going to help you out. Forget it. This is ridiculous. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, Jesus here is describing a persistent faith. You see, faith that is visible is a faith that will persist through every obstacle. Let's go on to the next part. Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship. In other words, they were friends and he wasn't willing to get up. But this is what will get the results. yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give. In other words, because you're annoying, because you're persistent, because you won't back away, because you won't take no for an answer, that is the reason you're going to get the bread that you needed. Come on now. You can't live a life of faith and be easily discouraged when things don't pan out the way you'd expected, or if somebody gives you a no, or if it doesn't look right, or, you know, you're believing God for a job, and you put your resume out to 3 companies, and you don't get the job you want the first time around, and you give up, you don't have faith. But when you're persuaded that God's going to bless you with a new opportunity, you're going to keep searching, you're going to keep looking, you're going to keep knocking, you're going to keep asking, you're going to keep pushing forward until God gives you that breakthrough, and you get what you're looking for. Right? This is a faith that finds a way. A faith that is visible, a faith that is active, a faith that is bold, a faith that won't take no for an answer. God, you have blessed, you have spoken these promises. You said you'd take care of me. You said you'd open a door. You said that you would make ends meet for me. You said that you'd heal my body. You said that you'd give me peace. You said all these things. And if you know God has said something, then you have every right to believe him to deliver that promise into your life. Don't have a faith that says, oh, God's not, he doesn't care about little old me. He's got bigger fish to fry. There's bigger problems in the world. God's worried about what's going on in Israel and there's wars. And no, that's not an understanding of the heart of God. The heart of God cares about every little thing about you, knows the number of hairs on your head. He cares about the tears you cried last night. He cares about what's going on in your life. And so he wants you to have a faith that does not easily give up. And when you have a faith that does not easily give up, you're going to get the breakthroughs in your life. Jesus sees that, he honors that, and he will bless that. But those who are wavery-minded, James says, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Because one day you believe God's going to bless you, and the next day you give up, and you're no longer believing God, and you're no longer moving forward in faith towards that thing. But the Bible says you got to have a singleness of mind. You got to be determined that what the Lord has spoken into your life is going to happen. Amen? So Jesus saw a faith that finds a way. In verse 3, Jesus saw a faith that cares. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 men. Now, the faith that Jesus saw was not the faith of the paralyzed man. The faith that Jesus saw was the faith of the 4 men who carried him in there. Do you guys follow that? Jesus saw their faith. You see, your faith, your determination in God, the faith that you carry on your life will impact people around you. Come on now. You don't live on a vacuum. You don't live on an island. We are a community, and your faith blesses other people. Your faith rubs off on other people. Your faith can provide the breakthrough for your loved one, your spouse, your child, your neighbor. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that Moses' parents saw that he was a beautiful, peculiar child, that the hand of God was on his life. So they did not put him in the river. They pulled him back for 3 months and guarded him, even though the Egyptians would come back and kill them for doing that. They didn't fear the edict, the verdict that the Egyptians had sent out, because they saw something special on Moses. Faith is a carrying faith. When you have faith in Jesus, that faith is extended to other people, and other people are blessed because your faith is directed towards them. Come on now. Come on, parent. You have faith in your child. There's something special about this child. I don't care how bad he acts. I don't care how crazy he acts. I don't care how much he gets in trouble. I see there's something good in this child. I see that God has blessed me with this child. I'm not going to give up on this child. I'm going to invest in this child because God's going to bless him through my faith. You gotta see, faith will see the best in other people. It won't go around criticizing other people, but faith sees the best in other people. That's what good, real faith is. I see the best in you. I see God on your life. I'm gonna believe God for you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to protect the call of God in your life. I'm going to protect the community. That's what faith is. It's an active faith, and it's a faith that cares about other people. These four men carried him in. And they went through great lengths, because when they got there, they had to take him up on these roofs. These homes back then, they had flat roofs. They had to take him up there, and man, that's not easy. It's not easy to get him in there. And when you have a faith and you are fully persuaded about a God who loves you, sooner or later that love and that faith is going to extend to people around you. I know God has blessed me. He can bless you. I know God's blessed me. He's going to bless my children. He's going to bless my spouse. He's going to bless our church community, the people around us. God's going to bless you. He can get that breakthrough for you. Your marriage can be blessed. Your finances can be restored. And that's what Jesus saw. He saw a persistent faith these men had for someone they loved. How do you turn that away? They carried him in. In Romans 12:15, the Bible says, look, as a community, we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we mourn with those who mourn. We share each other's burdens. We share each other's successes. As I succeed, you succeed. If you're struggling, I'm struggling. If you're wounded, I'm wounded. If you get a breakthrough and you get deliverance, God's blessed you, I'm blessed. Come on now. This is the interconnectivity of the body of Christ. We're pulling for one another. We're crying with each other. And we're rejoicing. If you don't rejoice when I get my blessing, do you really love me? Right? If you feel nothing, if I feel nothing when you're struggling, the Bible says, if you shut your bowels of compassion, how say the love of Christ is even in you? And a faith that Jesus sees is a faith that is not only persistent, but a faith that cares about other people. Because your faith matters to your kids. Your faith matters to your community. Your faith matters to your spouse. Your faith matters to our faith matters to Black Diamond. Because we're going to go out and serve people. We're going to go out and preach the gospel. We're going to love people when they come through these doors. Our faith matters to this area. People are dying in this area. People are spiritually, they're walking dead. They're zombies. They need God's love. They need some grace. They need somebody who has faith that they don't have. They need somebody who can carry them to Jesus. Say, hey, here's what Jesus says about you. Here's what Jesus is going to do in your life. Link up and pray with me. Thus saith the Lord. This area needs our faith. They need us to be a people of active faith. They need it. Our faith matters to Washington State. Our faith matters to this world. You guys follow what I'm saying? People who are paralyzed spiritually, they don't know up from down, need your faith to set them free. They need our faith. They need a refuge of hope when they finally reach their last moment, when they reach the end of their rope. They need somebody who has some faith. Just like we've all needed that. Amen. Now, Jesus saw the third thing is he saw a faith that knows that he cares. You see, Jesus saw that they cared, but he also saw that they had a faith where they knew that Jesus cared. Well, let me explain what I mean by that. It says, since they could not get him because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Now, notice in the first verse, you don't have to go back, but it says that Jesus was home. Most scholars, theologians believe, when you study the context here, that Jesus had gone to Capernaum. He probably lived in that town. It was either Peter's house or one of their houses where Jesus was likely had a room and was staying. So he was there, and the people just started coming in the house, so he started teaching the word. So these men, when they couldn't get in, they take the paralyzed man, they take him up on the roof, and they start busting through the home of Jesus. Now, is that the way that you show respect to a rabbi? Hey, pastor, I tried to get in your house. You obviously had your headphones on, so I just busted through the window because I needed prayer. Hallelujah. You wouldn't do that because you wouldn't have confidence that I care enough about you to overlook the damage to my home because you needed prayer. Do you follow me? You say they had a type of faith that believed that Jesus cared enough about this paralyzed man that he would forgive them and overlook the fact that he messed up their roof, his roof. They tore it apart. They ripped it apart. There's stuff falling, you know. And they damaged the home that Jesus was living in because they knew that Jesus cared about this paralyzed man. Somewhere along the line, they were persuaded that Jesus had some compassion. Maybe it was Jesus preaching or teaching, or there was word, or they heard rumors, or they saw something. They knew something about God that pushed them through every boundary and barrier to get their paralyzed friend to him. And so they bust up Jesus' roof. They're not worried about the rabbi getting mad at them for trying to get a breakthrough for their friend. You see, when you have faith where you know Jesus cares about people, come on now, you will begin to act. I'm willing to go on this mission trip because I know Jesus cares for those people. Amen? I'm willing to start a church because I know Jesus loves Black Diamond. We're willing to go to great lengths because we know that Jesus loves people. And we know that our faith to step forward and try to reach people and bring them to Jesus will produce a reaction where God will save them and bless their lives. Come on now. A faith, if you don't know God loves you and loves people, there's no faith. But your faith in an understanding of the character and the faithfulness and the goodness of God, come on now. That's a motivating, driving faith where you will go to whatever length possible. Because you know God's not going to let this person down. Come on now. I can't tell you how many prayer meetings when I'm struggling with something or I needed a breakthrough, I needed a word. Come on now. If you're not pushing hard to get to a man or woman of God or get to a prayer line or call a friend or somebody who you know is a person of faith, at some point you need to lean on somebody. God wants to see you press, and when you press, whatever that pressing looks like, you're going to get your results. You see, but if there's never a press or, you know, I gotta go to this meeting, I'm tired. I'm going anyway. Come on, I'm getting up out of bed. I'm getting my kids ready. I know I had a hard week, but I gotta go get me some God. I know that's not theologically sound. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Because God's already all up in us. Can't get more of him. He lives on the inside of you. But sometimes you need an understanding. You need a word. You need somebody to link up with. And when you need God to move in your life, you're not going to sit back passively. When you have a loved one who needs God, you'll get up out of bed and you'll do what you got to do. Amen? Because you know that hope in Jesus does not disappoint. He's going to care for the one that you care for. In 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. God wants you to know that he cares for you. And an understanding that he cares for you unlocks a persuasion of faith in your life. Wow, if God cares for me, I should pray. If God cares for my child, I'm going to keep praying for my child. I'm not going to give up because the circumstances didn't change right when I wanted them to. You see, I know God cares for this person. I know God cares about me. So I'm going to keep pressing in faith. Amen. God wants you to know that he cares for you, because that is a persuasion of faith in your life. Lord, you do care for me. I'm not going to let the enemy tell me to not pray. I know I messed up. I know I'm ashamed of whatever I did, but I know enough about you, you still care for me. So I'm not going to let the whispers of the enemy deter me from moving forward in faith. Because he cares for you. The fourth is faith is bold. This is what Jesus saw. He saw a faith on these men that was bold. But since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. The place was packed. There wasn't even room on the outside. And these men, by lowering him, just busting through the roof and lowering the man down on the mat, disrupted the whole service. What would we do if somebody came in and disrupted our beautiful little service because they were crying out to God for help? Would we be so religious and dignified that we would just, hey, this is disorderly, brother. Come on in, let's just take you back. Because I have a hunch Jesus probably wouldn't respond that way. If somebody is bold with their faith, and it's genuine, it's not just to cause a disruption, it's genuine, God can't turn that away. The Bible says in Hebrews that we are actually called to approach God just like these men, boldly. We're not called to approach God timidly or bashfully, because God's grace has been poured out in our lives. There is no barrier between us and God. There should be no hindrances between us and God. So when we go to God, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When you need help, when you need Jesus to move in your life, the Bible says, go boldly to his throne. Boldly. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Come on, you're my source. You're my blessing. You're the one who has the answer. You're the one who holds all the cards. You're the one who has all the power. I'm asking you to bless me right now, Jesus. Come on now. We got to at least be bold enough to go up to the altar in the prayer line if we need it. Come on now. When you need salvation and God's tugging on your heart and the preacher says, raise your hand if you want to know Jesus, you better raise your hand and respond boldly. And don't worry about what everyone else is looking at. Because a desperate faith and a bold faith doesn't care about being dignified because people are looking at them. A bold faith will start weeping at the altar. I don't care if you think I'm faking a phony. I need a touch from Jesus. God is ministering in my life. Come on, the woman with the alabaster box was bold to go in there and start weeping at the feet of Jesus and washing his feet with her tears. So much so that the religious people were like, what are you even doing here, Jesus? This woman, if Jesus knew who he was, who she was, he would have no association with her. Jesus didn't like that. He appreciated her genuine, raw, bold faith and worship. So let me tell you something. Since I came in here, you didn't even so much as offer me anything. But whom much is forgiven, that person will love much. Come on now. I'm telling you, you read the Gospels and you see things happen that are uncomfortable and kind of crazy and kind of weird. You see a guy climbing up in a tree yelling for Jesus. You think anything's different today? I've seen the desperate cry of people right in the middle of a church service. Yeah, I'm going to go up to the altar. I don't care if it makes me look like I have a problem. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy in your time of need. Amen. Here's the best part, the final part. Jesus saw faith, and his response to that faith was mind-blowing and life-changing and incredible. Because this type of faith that is a determined faith, a faith that cares, a faith that knows Jesus cares, a faith that is bold, will bring about God's very best in our lives. In other words, this man came and they brought him to Jesus so that he would heal his body. Now that would have been an incredible miracle, wouldn't it have been? Yeah, heal his body. Jesus doesn't even talk about that initially. He turns and says, hey, son. By the way, that's pretty cool. Call me son. Jesus, call me son. Anytime you want. Son, which is a word of affirmation and acceptance. A word of, you've done the right thing here. This is good. You didn't have, you really took a risk doing this, didn't you? But son, your sins are forgiven you. You see, they came for a physical healing. When Jesus saw their faith, he went way beyond what they even asked for. Because Jesus knew the real need that this man had. Come on, would you rather die a paralytic without Jesus? Or would you rather have your sins forgiven and not have your physical body healed? Come on now, which is the greater blessing? I'd rather go to heaven with a missing arm than be intact and not have Jesus in my life. To be unforgiven, to not have the blood of Jesus washing away my sins. But Jesus approached this man. He says, I see your faith and your sins are forgiven. What? Everyone's just, who does this Jesus think he is? Oh, I'm going to get to the paralyzed part in a minute. But I wanted to bless you with the ultimate blessing. Bless you to your core. Bless your spiritual life. Heal you from the inside out. Wash you clean. Make you new. Give you a new life. Give you a new outlook. Bless you to be heaven bound. Seat you in heavenly places with Christ. I'm not just going to heal your body. I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think, even in your most wildest imaginations. You see, when God sees a faith on you, when God sees a bold, persistent faith on you, he will bless you beyond what you're even thinking about. Woo! You better hear this. You see, he walked out of that place physically healed and spiritually healed. When you come to Jesus and you're believing for a job and you are believing in him in a way that is special, in a way that is determined, in a way that is consistent, in a way that is bold, he's going to go beyond what you're even dreaming about. He is. This is what it says. Ephesians 3. God can do anything. All things are possible with God. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Come on, think about the best thing God can do, the biggest thing you're praying for, the biggest thing you're dreaming about, and God can go way beyond that. You put your faith in Jesus. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy road. I'm not saying that everything's always going to be perfect, but I am telling you that God is a blesser. He's in the blessing business. And when he sees a person with a broken and contrite heart and a person crying out to him and putting all their trust in Jesus, he's going to bless them beyond their wildest imaginations. Because faith always brings the very best out in God. He will move in your life. He will bless you and respond to your faith and say, you know what? Yeah, you got it. You're healed. But you're my son. You're restored. Everyone sees the blessing on your life. I'm believing for God to do more than I can even dream about in my life. I'm believing for you because we care about you, that God's gonna do more than you ever dreamed about or thought about or even imagined in your life. I'm believing that God's gonna do more than we ever dreamed or thought about in this local community, in this church. Come on, it's gonna spiral into a place with such blessing and momentum that we don't even know what to do anymore. This is beyond what we ever thought, dreamed, or imagined. Amen. Oh, be encouraged. God loves you. I hope you're feeling more persuaded this morning. If you have the heart like a child, the Bible says, Jesus says all things are possible. A disposition like a child, which means you just delight in God. You just believe him at his word. You're not playing mathematics with God. You know what it looks like in the natural, but you just believe enough to trust him, and you're just going to fall back on him. You put all your eggs in one basket. There's no plan B. It's plan A. It's Jesus, and it's Jesus all the way. Amen? Because he's a hope that does not disappoint. If you need prayer this morning, if you need a touch from God this morning, if you need somebody to just love you and connect with you and just say that God's with you and pray with you, we have a prayer team. Susie, you can come up, and I want to encourage you to come on up. We're just going to worship the Lord with a couple verses and a couple songs. After we sing a little bit, we're going to have an offering service, so you can kind of prepare things, but let's just take a minute to thank God and worship God that he's a God who loves us and responds to a faith that is determined and that is focused on him. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing. If you need prayer, come on up and let's worship the Lord together.